Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and the cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by Bradford Lee. Hello.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
I'm doing really well. This is the second time we've got to say hi to each other since we just messed up the first recording. But your name here, Bradford Lee, I can't help but notice there's no spaces. Is this your handle, or do you actually have just no space in your name?
It is my online handle. My real first name is Bradford, but my parents had the cunning idea of why stop with just Bradford when I could be a Brad Lee or a Brad as well, because Lee is my middle name. So I can be Brad, Bradford, Bradford Lee, or Bradley. So I have all the options available to me.
That's setting up your kid for success right there.
I know, right? Unless that turns into like the name that everybody bullies. They're like, oh, you're a Bradford? Oh.
But then you have two to go back on. You're like, no, I'm a Brad Lee. And they're like, oh, okay. You're king of the playground then. Well done. See, that's good because, man, it was super stressful. My son is a year and a half old now. Mm-hmm. And like picking his name and like trying to think of all the ways you could turn it into, you know, inappropriate jokes and all that sort of stuff. But like your parents thought ahead, man. They gave you like three backup plans.
Yeah, they didn't mess around, I guess.
Well done. All right. So, Bradford Lee, who are you? Why are you here? Please don't hurt us.
Okay, I'll try not to hurt you. I am a streamer myself, and I stream to a small community, and it's really fun. And they specifically said, they kind of outreached to me and said, hey, you've got this deck that you've created, and we want you to present it to the world just in some way. So they said, hey, you should do a post on Reddit. So I did a post on Reddit, and they said a couple other different things I should do. And finally, there was a night where almost everybody in the chat was going crazy. Like, you need to get in touch with Happy Hearthstone. It's our favorite podcast. And there was multiple people in the podcast or in the stream that night were like, oh, that's my favorite podcast and Hearthstone podcast. So they said, hey, you have to contact and try and get on this show. So they specifically kind of hounded me in the direction of putting me on the show.
Do you want to know a secret, Bradford?
What's that?
Those were all me.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
You.
Wouldn't that be funny, though?
Oh, it'd be crazy. Especially because you come back to my show on a regular basis still. With five accounts or more, you know?
It's a disease I have. It's just so many voices in my head. I just let them all out in different Twitch accounts.
That's pretty... I mean, whatever's your therapy, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. Well, that's really cool. I'm really glad to hear. Mm-hmm. We got some listeners out there sharing the love, bringing people on the show. I was super excited to hear. I think you're the first person that's ever come on the show that I didn't have to like go out and recruit, that somebody sent you my way. That's really cool.
No, that is really neat.
So congrats. You get a gold star.
Oh, yes. It's well, we're done.
We're done.
In the podcast right here.
That's better than winning a deck battle, right?
Yeah, I got a gold star.
All right, so let's talk about why we're happy this week before we jump into some more news. I had a great weekend. I've been working a lot lately. It's been pretty busy. But this was the first weekend in a couple of months. I just did nothing, right? I cooked a bunch of food. We had barbecue, carne asada, tri-tip. I played games. I watched esports. I only left the house like once all weekend. It was awesome.
That sounds like a beautiful weekend.
I know. And we got Thanksgiving coming up right around the corner. Man, it's going to be good. This is a good week for food. That's all
I'm saying. Yes, it is.
So why are you happy this week?
I am happy because I'm going to be visiting family for the holiday season, which is awesome. I don't get to see my family very often. This is the only time of the year, really.
Cool.
It's yeah, exactly. I just love being able to, you know, people that I don't get a that I love and I'm happy to be around that I don't get to spend as much time with on a regular basis. It's nice to to have those moments where you do get to spend time with them. And then the other thing is I just love life right now. I'm getting to do things that I love to do. I've been bicycling more, which is like one of my favorite hobbies. And, I get to stream Hearthstone. I get to do, I do a lot of planting of different plants in the outdoors. And I do farming and, I thoroughly enjoy it. And I don't know. I'm just loving life because everything I'm doing right now is something that I love doing. So yeah, wow, I'm happy because awesome. Of that. Yeah.
You listed all things that I love too. I think we're good. Like best friends now. This is awesome. So have you found a way to stream Hearthstone while cycling?
I've considered it. We were doing themes. We have like themes in my podcast. Not my podcast, my stream. It'd be like, you know, like we right now we have chat rap Tuesdays, which is kind of like a dumb joke, but it's like we do chat raps and everybody talks in chat raps. Kind of fun. Hold on. Yeah.
You're going to have to unpack this phrase for me a little bit. Chat rap? What does this mean?
We have rap battles in chat.
Okay. I thought that's what that meant, but I just had to check.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a
prominent rap battler?
I'm not nearly as good as some of the people. They know how to, if I have the terminology correct, they know how to throw down better than I can. They're great. Everybody in my chat's really fun. And so we have a lot of fun, like things like that, like chat rap Tuesdays. We did on Wednesdays, the theme at one point was Wacky Draft Wednesdays, which was like, they had to give me a stipulation for drafting a arena run. And then I drafted that stipulation. It was really fun, but it ended up being a little bit daunting for both sides of the spectrum. For people who are watching, it was not very fun sometimes because sometimes it would be like, it was just, it didn't come out really well, or they're like, why wouldn't you have just drafted better cards? And at the same time, it was daunting for me because it's sometimes I'm just like, oh, I really wish I would have taken this card instead. And so it wasn't perfect for the stream. So the thing, getting back to the initial question, that we've considered is doing like a workout Wednesdays where I'm like on like a bicycle, or like we all work out as a chat or something weird like that. So that's still in the potential streaming while working or while bicycling options moving forward.
That'd be awesome. So just to throw this out there, mm-hmm. one of my favorite streamers of all time is Snoopé. Okay. He's a League of Legends player. Do you know Get Fit with Snoopé?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't really watch much League.
Okay. So he did this whole thing where he did a campaign, Get Fit with Snoopé, and he did it, the whole hashtag and all that. But he basically had a deal where they would play a game of League on a stream. And then I forget what it was, but like for every kill or death or turret or whatever they got, it is one push up, one sit up.
Okay.
So they play the game, and then after the game, he would get down and the camera's still on him, and he would tell everyone in the stream to get down and they'd do the push ups and sit ups for how well they did and stuff. It was really cool.
That's neat. That's a really fun way to interact too.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do plugs at the end, but what is your stream or where can people find you? Because if I was listening, I would immediately want to go find what you're talking about.
It's twitch.tv/Bradford Lee. It's exactly what my handle is, Bradford Lee at Twitch, basically. So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. So we'll talk about more of that sort of stuff at the end of the show as well, but that sounds awesome. Before we jump into our deck battle, we got to talk about League of Explorers, because two Wings of the Adventure are out yet. Have you played through them?
I have played through them. I haven't finished all the heroic side of it, but I have played through the normal and the class battles. How about you?
Nice. I'm the same. There's no shame in not finishing the heroics yet. Some of those are quite hard. But yeah, I've played through the normals, the class challenges. What's been your favorite of the adventure levels so far?
Oh, the escape one? I can't even think the name. The minecart one? Yeah, the minecart one.
Yeah, that one was really cool. Escaping the Trogs. That is in Oldeman, the second one.
Yes.
That was really cool because I didn't expect all the cards in your hand are themed after this. And so they're all unique cards that you're playing with. It's really clever.
It is. Yeah. It was kind of neat to have like a kind of like a pre-constructed one as compared to trying to find the solution through decked instruction. So it was a change of pace, which I liked about that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's not how do you build a deck to counter this? How do you use the limited tools that you have to get through?
Yeah. What about yours?
I really liked the Sunraider Ferrix, I think. The one with the Rod of Sun that's on the board. And whichever person controls it is immune, and you can kill it to make it transfer to your side. I thought that was just really fun. It was not a hard battle, but it was just fun to play with.
The heroic one's really hard.
I haven't even tried the heroic version.
It's really hard. I tried it once, and I was like, all right, we're done here for a little while. I'll come back to this at a different time.
In the heroic one?
What did you say that again?
What's different in the heroic version?
The rod is, I believe it gets +3 attack when it's when Sun Raider controls it. Oh. And when you control the rod, it's just an 0-5. It doesn't make you immune anymore. So when your opponent owns it, it's a 3-5 and they're immune, I believe. And then when you own it, it's just an 0-5 that you get. It's a lot harder in that way.
Yeah, no joke. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So have you gotten to play with the new cards at all?
I have. I love them. They've really spiced up the game, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're talking about one of them later in Card of the Week, but other than that, what's been your favorite card you've run into so far?
Oh, okay, my favorite card. Well, wait, are we discussing cards that are already released or ones that are releasing soon?
Only the ones released so far in the first two wings.
Okay, the Keeper of Uldumon, I believe is what it's called, it's the 3-4 for 4. Maybe that's not the name of it. It's a paladin card. Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, Keeper of Uldumon. That's the
Keeper of Uldumon. That is my favorite card so far. I like that it gives you options. I love cards with different options. So one of the options that it has a battle cry ability that says set a minion's attack and health to 3. So one of the abilities that you can do is you can make, let's say, a Dr. Boom, a 7-7, into a 3-3 on your opponent's side of the board. Or you could turn your Silverhand Recruit, your 1-1, into a 3-3. So it can either buff your minions or shrink your opponent's minions, which is really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, that card is super cool. I've seen that actually get a lot of play lately. Nick, who was on the last episode of the show, was just telling me about his mid-range paladin deck that he's got up to level 6, I think, this week, that's using that card to really good effect.
Yeah, I've seen it being played a couple times as well, and I just think it's... I don't think it's an insane card. I think Piloted Shredder's still a better 4-drop, but
yeah.
It's still really, really powerful for 4 mana.
Yeah, it's just so versatile, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's great in aggro if you've got a 1-1 on the board. It's great for shrinking those giants.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I've been loving, Jeweled Scarab.
Oh, okay.
I was playing in Hunter, actually. Adam, who was on the show, was telling me about this. It's a really nice fit in there. I seem to be getting the Eagle Eye Bow.
Oh, so, Eagle Horn Bow, yeah.
Eagle Horn Bow, thank you. More often than I would expect, so I don't know if there's a heavy leaning on class cards over neutral cards.
Actually, I know there is now.
There is?
Yeah, they just announced it maybe a couple days ago that it's 4 times more likely to find a class card than it is to find a neutral card.
Very cool. Awesome. Yeah, because I mean, I've definitely been feeling that, because I'm getting a lot of Eaglehorn Bows, Animal Companions, Deadly Shots. Like, I'm happy to have all those cards. So that card has just been working out really well for me.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Is that a beast as well? Does it also have that synergy?
I can't remember. Okay. Let me double check, but I am pretty sure. Oh, it totally is.
Oh, it is?
Well done. Yeah. I didn't even think so. I thought it was like a total animated statue sort of thing. But no, it is actually a beast.
Even more synergy for a hunter deck.
So much synergy. Cool. So let's jump into the deck battles then. Because just to remind people, there's no new Wing of the Adventure coming out this week. We're recording this on November 23rd. So no Wing this week, but the Wing will be coming out next week, the first week of December. So, and then there's another Wing after that. Let's jump into our deck battle, Bradford, because we are here to fight, sir.
Bring it on.
All right. I'm in. So just a reminder for people, we do these deck battle episodes about once a month. This is where the guest host brings on their favorite deck onto the show and breaks it down for you. They tell you what cards they put in it, how it works, why they like playing it, and then they put their deck to the test, battling against me live on the show. The twist is obviously that I use the current reigning champion deck, which is the last deck that a guest host has brought into the show and won with. So right now, that is still, for the past 6 months,
jeez,
Andrew's Warlock Demon Zoo deck. That's half a year.
That's incredible. No one has
been able to beat this deck. Yeah. It's been pretty crazy. It's been really solid. It's also, man, it's been my go-to deck. Like, when I'm on a losing streak, I'm like, all right, Andrew's Warlock Demon Zoo deck, it's going to break it. And it almost always does. So if you want details on that, you can go to episode 49. That'll have details, how to build it, all the cards, all that sort of stuff. While you're there, you can check out the full guide that Bradford Lee has put together for his Challenger deck. which we're going to talk about in a second. All the cards there, some substitute cards, tons of advice for how to play with it, GameDiplomat.com. Bradford Lee, what is your deck, sir?
Well, I'm going to start by saying that there was, at first, when my stream suggested I come on this show, it was like a Tempo Mage build that they suggested at first. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was doing really well with it, and it was a design that I had put together. It went really well. And then the Grand Tournament released, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should play this Fatigue Warrior deck that I really like now. It's my favorite deck now. And then the League of Explorers released, and now that the League of Explorers are released, there's all these new cards coming out, and the deck that I'm having the most fun with right now is a deck called Milrogue. So I'm bringing Milrogue to the podcast today. The idea of Milrogue is that you're trying to make your opponent draw as many cards as possible. So you're actually giving them cards. So cards for everyone, basically.
this sounds fun so far. I'm in.
Yeah, right? Where could we go wrong? But the win condition is actually I'm going to make you or my opponent run out of cards to the point where they're fatiguing. When they're out of cards, they're starting to mill themselves and they're taking damage every single time that you draw a card after you're out of cards in your deck. You take one damage from the first one that time that you try to draw a card, two damage the second time, three damage the third time, and so it keeps compounding like that. And basically what I'll keep doing is keep trying to give you cards even though you don't have any. And that's how the deck wins. So it's really a fun way to win. And it really presents, some interesting, dynamics to the game that you wouldn't otherwise see from other decks.
So I've played against this sort of deck a couple times. Mm-hmm. And let me say, Bradford, it's not fun. It's not fun to play against. You're making it sound like this is super fun.
It's not fun for me
to play against. It gets frustrating after a while when it's just like everything you put down is getting killed or bounced to your hand or disappeared. Oh, man. So do you like this deck because it is kind of annoying?
Less because of that and more because there's a lot of times where you don't necessarily have a correct decision that you can make. So, for instance, there's the card Cold Light Oracle, which says each player draws two cards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you may be looking for a very specific card in order to even like stay alive in the game or put yourself in a position to win. So because there's not necessarily always like a correct decision, you have to a lot of times say, okay, this is my best decision based on what I know. And so it feels a lot like a puzzle, and I really like the puzzle aspect of it, where you're trying to get all these pieces set into place, and you're trying to utilize every single card in your deck in order to create a victory at the end. And that's really hard to do with this deck in the first part, because you actually have to stave off everything else that your opponent's doing at the same time. Now, as you said, it isn't as fun to play against because, as you said, they're casting cards like Vanish, which returns all minions to each person's hand. They're casting cards like Sap, and so they're stalling with these bounce spells, if you will, these Saps and Vanishes. And that really is it can be disappointing because you're not making your deck's not doing exactly what it's trying to do generally. But that's how my deck is able to even just get to the late game and able to even get to a position where it can win. So I just like that I can utilize all my tools and try and create some kind of miraculous win at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way you described that a lot, because it is, especially at this point for people that have been playing Hearthstone for a long time, mm-hmm. it's got to be kind of nice to get like a fresh strategy, to be like, hey, I'm no longer looking at this card and deciding whether it's good or not because of its vanilla stats or whatever, right? Like, you don't even really care about that a whole lot. Like, does it play work into your very specific strategy that's so unusual in the game?
Sorry, say that question one more time.
Yeah, it wasn't as much of a question. Just, it's got to be cool to look at cards and not worry like, oh, is this an efficient card? It's more like, does this help me do one very specific thing that I care about?
Right, yes. And that's definitely a different way to approach the game, because a Cold Light Oracle, again, drawing you each player two cards and only being a 2-2 for three is probably not as good as putting out something like a 3-4 with three for three that has Death Rattle or something like that's going to give you extra value and not give you something to your opponent. So yeah, it's definitely approaching the game from a very different direction. And it's kind of like basically a combo deck where it's trying to put all of its tools together to create this Cold Light Oracle combo. Which is just, it's a completely different way to look at the game, which is cool.
Yeah. I will say, I really like running into people, even though I said the deck is kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. I like running into people that play decks like this, because it feels like, it's like people that play Lorewalker Cho. Like, it just makes a fun game, right? When you're climbing the ladder or whatever, you're just grinding out quests for your, or grinding out wins for your quest. It's cool to run across something that's just different, and so you just have a totally different experience.
Similar to your experience, I hate Lorewalker Cho just as much as you probably hate this particular deck to play against. But at the same time, I agree with you. It's nice to have that, you know, differentiation within the ladder and being able to see different things happening rather than, you know, playing against Seeker Paladin a million times, playing against Facehunter a million times. So that's, yeah, it is fun to see different decks like this floating around.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some of the key cards. You mentioned Coldlight Oracle. I see that. I've definitely seen that card played every time I've played against this deck. That's like a key card, right?
That is the deck. Coldlight Oracle is the most important card in the whole deck. I often mulligan specifically for that card only, because the games where you don't draw Coldlight Oracle, you're not going to win. And it's just it's what facilitates the entire deck and allows you to even get to the point that you're trying to get to.
And is that because it helps you find your answers as well? Is that why it's so key?
Yes, it helps you find your answers because you're drawing two cards, and it also draws your opponent two cards, so it helps speed up the process of reaching to the end of the game, which just makes it incredible.
Okay. Now, have you ever run into the problem of milling yourself?
I have.
With this deck? Because that definitely seems like a concern with cards like Coldlight Oracle.
Right, and actually, Coldlight Oracle has this lovely built-in mechanic of it drawing both people their cards, and then at the end of the drawing each person's card. So, like, let's say, for instance, we're fatiguing, and we're both fatiguing for one damage, and we're both at three life, right? And I play a Coldlight Oracle. We both fatigue for one, and then we both fatigue for two. At that point, the game then checks and says, okay, you're both at three life total, you've each taken three life, you're both going to die. So it actually draws the game. So even though there is the downside of it drawing me cards and sometimes fatiguing me out, the upside with the Coldlight Oracle is I don't lose still. So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll play the Coldlight Oracle knowing I can't win the game anymore, but what I'm trying to do is just draw the game. And if I can draw the game, then I don't lose a star as well, which is really nice because even though it did take me probably 10 minutes to get to that point, I'm still not losing in a way, and I'm trying to put myself in a position to keep moving up the ladder further or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's,
it's kind
cool.
of fun.
I mean, at that point, your choice is a loss or not loss, and so that
right.
is the obvious choice. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. What are some other key cards?
There's Vanish. I think Vanish is the second most important card in the whole deck. Because the deck has to have all these specific pieces put together in order to get itself to the end game, it needs a very powerful effect that will buy you a turn. It's sort of like, for those people who play Magic, an Ancestral Recall. It's a time walk. It's another turn that you're getting because you're casting Vanish, and it's removing everything from the board. And when you're able to remove everything from the board, you buy at least one turn that way. The added bonus of Vanish is when you have cards like Preparation, which Preparation reduces the cost of Vanish, and Vanish costing 6 mana is a pretty heavy cost for this effect. But you have Preparation to reduce its cost down to 3. So if you say you have Vanish, Preparation, and Coldlight Oracle in your hand, you can play your Coldlight Oracle, you can cast your Preparation, and then you can cast your Vanish, and you'll get your Coldlight Oracle back into your hand. So it actually progresses you further towards your end game because you're getting back your Coldlight Oracle while also buying you a whole nother turn. It's an incredible card. It's without the card, the deck couldn't exist, just like Coldlight Oracle.
Yeah, and actually, one thing about Vanish as well is if their hand is full, it just burns the cards.
Yeah. Something to note with that, since we're talking about it real quick, say they have a Piloted Shredder on the board. If you cast Vanish and their hand is full, the Piloted Shredder's Death Rattle trigger will still happen.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, and there's again, like I said, this deck's like a puzzle, so there's a lot of, like, little interactions like that. So let's say, for instance, you have a Piloted Shredder, and we'll just say, I don't know, some a Wisp, you know, just some other creature. Mm-hmm. If you played your Piloted Shredder first and then played your Wisp, the Piloted Shredder, say you have 9 cards in hand and I cast Vanish, only one can go back to hand and one has to disappear, right? One has to just die.
Yeah.
And since you have 9 in hand, whatever creature you played first will be the first to return to your hand. So that level of complexity makes it really hard to even keep up sometimes with the game. I struggle with it a lot. Sometimes I'll be like, oh man, which minion did my opponent play first? And I have to make sure that I get that death rattle minion back to their hand so it doesn't put something else back onto the board.
So extra credit question.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a piloted shredder on the board, you killed it.
Yeah.
Does the minion that it summoned count as coming after the wisp or before the wisp?
I believe it would count after the wisp, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
So like if I cast a sap, you mean, on it, and then it killed the piloted shredder and the other one came back or something like that?
Yeah, just because you said it matters the order they came in on. I didn't know if whatever the piloted shredder summons inherits its original turn that it came in or whatever.
I don't think it does. I think the order would go piloted shredder, wisp, and then once the piloted shredder dies, the new thing after the wisp. But I'm not 100% sure on that.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't even think about the piloted shredder effect like that. That is super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what are some other cards?
Well, when you can't win with Cold Light Oracle, your other win condition is Antique Healbot of all cards. So let's say you're playing Facehunter and I'm playing Milrogue. So you're playing basically Facehunter, just a very aggressive deck, that's just trying to finish your opponent off as quickly as possible. Antique Healbot helps protect that because Antique Healbot is a 5-mana 3/3 that gains you 8 life. And so you would say, okay, gains you 8 life, that's nice, but that's not gonna stave off all the bleeding, if you will. But it is there are ways to do that because you have things like, as I mentioned before, Vanish. You can bounce the Antique Healbot back to your own hand and then replay it again, and so you gain 8 more life. And so against a Facehunter deck, generally I'm not actually trying to win the game. I'm just trying to play like 70 Antique Healbots. I'm just trying to gain so much life that my opponent physically is unable to win with all the cards they have in their deck, which is really interesting way to win. And so there's a bunch of ways to keep just getting more and more Antique Healbots. So that's your win condition, weirdly enough, in some matchups.
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought that you had a dream about out-healing Facehunter. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've actually multiple times, I would say the most I've ever gained with Antique Healbot is like 150 life, give or take 10. Yeah.
What?
And even then, I was playing against like a more resilient Facehunter, more kind of like a little bit more mid-rangey than aggressive build. And he still got me to 2 before I was able to finally win the game. So he did 180 plus or minus 10 life to me during that game.
Now, so obviously the League of Explorers came out.
Mm-hmm.
Reno Jackson is a big healing person that people are really high on right now. Are you thinking, because as a reminder, he's a 6-cost 4/6 with a battle cry. If your deck contains no more than one of any card, fully heal your hero. Is this something you think you could experiment with here, or is it just not worth the risk?
I played with him real quick, got like 2 games in with him just to test it out. I didn't feel like he would be good at first, and I am 100% sure that I would not play with him in this deck. The reason is because, as I said before, the deck is like a puzzle. It needs all of its pieces, and the pieces have to come into place at the right time. And Reno Jackson in this deck, because there's a lot of two copies of cards in it, can only be played when there's no cards left in your deck, or maybe one card left in your deck. Additionally, there's a card called Gang Up in the deck, and it says put 3 copies of a card into your deck. And so it makes it even harder for you to trigger a Reno Jackson because you're putting more copies into your deck as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Those cards do not play well together.
They don't. And it's really a shame because if there was a way to consistently utilize its ability in this deck on turn 6, I would 100% play it. But I can't consistently utilize it until like turn 13 or 14, which is much later in the game.
Eek. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's your last important card?
Well, I'd say the next most important card is Deathlord. And the reason I would say this card is incredibly important is in the early game, it's good against the aggressive decks because it generally will trade down a couple threats. And then when it dies, it gives you the added bonus of taking a card out of their deck and putting on the battlefield, and then you can then just cast Vanish and return it all back to their hand. So it actually helps you in the milling process while also stopping your opponent from being able to finish you off. Additionally, a taunt minion is really important in the deck. So I'm running two Sludge Belchers and two Death Lords, and they both have taunt. So the Death Lord effectively, during turns where, say, you're playing against like a Druid deck that has a combo finish with the kind of classic combo that they would run, and in that circumstance, having something with taunt will stop them from being able to combo you for a turn, which is really powerful to be able to buy one more turn off the Death Lord. In those times where, say, you have 9 mana and you're like, well, I have to play this Cold Light Oracle, and you find your other Cold Light Oracle. You're like, well, I guess I'll play this Cold Light Oracle, and you still have 3 mana, and you find a Death Lord, and you're just like, oh, miraculously, I found this thing. You just slam it because it feels so good at that point to have this 2/8 with this terrible Death Rattle ability that buys you just enough time in order to squeak out a win.
Yeah. And yeah, that's interesting, because whenever I see Deathlord land, I always get kind of happy, because I'm like, oh, cool, he's going to put something in my deck on the board. But you're right, mm-hmm. against this deck, I don't want to be fishing stuff out of my deck and putting it on the board.
Yeah, which is crazy that a Death Rattle ability that gives you something, my opponent, is good for me, weirdly.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. This sounds interesting. I'm actually excited to play against it. This should be fun.
Yeah, I really like this deck. It's incredibly fun to play. As I said, though, as you said, I mean, on the other end, it can be a little bit frustrating, especially when you're not 100% sure what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the deck. As a reminder, I'm going to be playing Andrew's Demon Zoo deck, which has already beaten 4 decks now. Bradford Lee, do you think, in all honesty, can your deck be the first deck in 6 months to beat it?
In all honesty? Oh, man. Okay, so I think this is a bad matchup for me. But I think I can do it. I believe in myself. I think I can do it because I know this deck quite well. So I think I have the upper hedge a little that way, maybe. Yeah.
How many games do you think you've put in with this deck?
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably 100, maybe.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know the deck quite well now.
Ooh. All right. This is gonna be fun. So we're going to jump in right now. We're going to play a best-of-3 series, which you can watch in its entirety in our show notes on GameDiplomat.com or on our Twitch channels, which will obviously be linked in the show notes as well. And we'll be right back. All right, we are back. And let me officially congratulate Andrew's Warlock Demon Zoo deck on tying this show's all-time record of wins. This is 5 straight wins in a row, which ties Dan's Hunter Beastmaster, the first deck we ever had on the show that went on a winning streak. So, Bradford,
congrats,
I'm sorry.
Andrew.
I'm sorry, dude. Bradford Lee. So that game was 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
That first game looked like you just drew nothing.
Yeah, I drew nothing.
Yeah, like I kept waiting because I got down my knife juggler down early, and I was like, okay, I just need to go face fast because I don't know what's gonna happen. So I just started going, but I was like, where's the cold light oracles, where's the vanishes? Like, there was just, you had nothing.
Yeah, my opening hand was vanish sludge belcher, I believe, and I mulliganed my whole hand looking for a cold light oracle. So I got probably the worst opening hand after I had a relatively good opener, because you generally want to just look for your cold light oracle. And as you saw in that first game, I didn't ever even draw a cold light oracle, so I could never really get the momentum going that game.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. So one thing I noticed about your deck, actually, it seems like you're saving all the mill for the end. Is that just because you didn't draw it, or is that actually the strategy?
It was more because I didn't draw it. You generally want to wait till turn 7 before you do anything with it, because that way you can go, or turn 6. Turn 6 or turn 7, because you can go Cold Light Oracle, find a preparation plus a vanish, vanish it, and restart the next turn and continue your mill process going from then on out. But sadly, I can't always draw my Dr. Six, in a sense. yeah. I didn't draw my Cold Light Oracles on turn 6 and 7 either game. The second game, the Cold Light Oracle, I was saying to my stream, there were a couple people that came in, and I was like, oh, well, looks like I'm dead. I have to draw my Cold Light Oracle this turn, or else I'm not gonna win. And I drew a Sludge Belcher, and I was like, oh, this might buy me a turn. So I bought a turn, and I was like, okay, maybe if I draw a Cold Light next turn, I drew the Cold Light. So I had a fighting chance in game two, but it didn't quite, pan out, cause I had wasted all my vanishes too early, because I was never able to then Cold Light Oracle give you a bunch of resources and then bounce them all back to your hand. I never really got to that point in either game, actually. So,
yeah, I mean, there was one turn where I thought for sure it was in the second game mm-hmm. where it, I think it was your best turn that you had, where you went through, you played Cold Light Oracle, you prepped him twice, I think, you ganged up him, and then you had three mana left and you prepped. And I was like, oh no, it's a vanish. It's a vanish, because it would have killed everything on my board because you had filled my whole hand up. But you didn't have it. It was almost painful to watch.
Yeah, I had to like dig through my whole deck to try and even get to that point. But I didn't quite get there. That is the nature of the deck, though. If you don't draw your Cold Light Oracles early, you can't win. Which is why it's a little inconsistent and why it's not the best deck in Hearthstone. Which is probably for the best, though. I don't know if they'd really want this deck to be the best deck in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
But it's still incredibly fun to play. And there was in that second game, too, I played the Bronzebeard in order to eviscerate something and get the full 4 damage from the combo ability on eviscerate. Mm-hmm. And had I held the Bronzebeard and instead just used a preparation because I had 2 of them in hand, I would have actually ended up being better off in the long term, because I ended up finding that turn where I went, like, as you were talking about, Cold Light Oracle into Shadow Step into Cold Light Oracle into Shadow Step into Cold Light Oracle into Cold Light Oracle. And I just cast it so many times in that one turn. Had I had the Bronzebeard, I think I would have been able to win the game. But I took the line of putting the Bronzebeard out there with the intention of drawing my Cold Light the next turn and maybe being able to protect the Bronzebeard and then having more mana available. But sadly you killed the Bronzebeard, and on top of that, I did not draw the Cold Light that next turn. So
yeah, as soon as that was on the board, because the previous game you had done the stupid, sorry, not stupid, the delightful tactic of Brand Bronzebeard plus Antique Healing Bot to heal for 16 health.
Did like, it twice.
Twice. And I was just like, okay, as soon as that dude landed on the board, I was like, I don't care what I need to cast to kill that guy. I just have to kill him. Because I knew if Cold Light Oracle started dropping, because that's 4 cards every single time you play him. Because I was down to, I think, like 8 cards, I think, by the end of the game.
You actually were 5 close. By the last turn.
5,
so.
Yeah. It was getting scary. There were a couple turns in there where I could very clearly see why this deck that you play is so fun.
Yeah.
Because just the amount of things and impact you're able to do in a single turn was crazy.
Yeah, and Bronzebeard really does make the deck much more I wouldn't say consistent. It makes it a little less consistent, because Bronzebeard on its own is not as good as, say, like a fan of knives to allow you to keep digging for Cold Lights. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to find your Cold Light Oracles, like as you saw in those two games. But it gives you so much burst and so many crazy lines where... Had I had it all together, which I almost did have it all together in game 2, yeah. I could have made you drawn 16 cards in one turn, which is crazy.
Yeah, so, over half my deck.
Yeah, in one turn. Yeah. So yeah, it definitely has a really like a burst ability for sure if it can set it up.
Yeah, and so I got really lucky, I would say, both times around. Andrew's deck, I mean, one of the strengths of the deck is that there aren't really any bad draws in it, because you're not fishing for combos. You just want cards, and they're all good. But, dude, Dr. Boom in both those games did huge work for me.
Mm-hmm. And neither times I could deal with it. I don't think I ever drew my Big Game Hunter. Maybe I did in the second game. Oh, no, I had it in the first game. That's where I had it. But I didn't actually play it the turn that I had it one time, because I couldn't. If I would have used my Big Game Hunter, I think you would have killed me on the swing back and won the game. So I just had to vanish the whole board, which really stunk, because I had to use my whole entire turn just to vanish one turn. And so I gave you, then you like replayed the Dr. Boom and put out 4 Boom Bots.
Yeah, I have to say, so I mentioned I should take back my earlier statement about this deck being annoying to play against, because that was awesome getting to play Dr. Boom with 4 Boom Bots on. So of course I put 2 on each side, so he's very symmetrical. During the game, I actually paused and took a screenshot, because I told everyone on the stream, like, okay, this has to be like the lead image for this deck, because this is way too much fun having it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was interesting as well, because I almost never played Doomguard straight out, but I knew that since you were going to be filling my hand anyways, I didn't really care about discarding 2 cards, so it was kind of nice to be free to play the Doomguard almost.
Right, and that's exactly the issue with this matchup. And as I said, I don't think the matchup's good for Milrogue because of Doomguard. It's weird that you discarding cards is good for you, because then when I'm trying to mill, I can't actually hit specific cards. So, like, it'll show me if you have 10 cards and then I mill you for two, or if I make you draw two cards with Cold Light Oracle, it'll show me the two cards that are going to disappear and not go to your hand. So say, for instance, I see power overwhelming. At that exact moment, I know you don't have an extra 8 points of damage, and it allows me to play a little bit differently. So I can, maybe play an Anti-Keelbot out over a Sludge Belcher and say, okay, gaining life is better here because I know he can't do that extra damage with the Power Overwhelmings. Or vice versa, say I see like an Iron Beak Owl, like, which was the card that ended up finishing me both games. You were able to get past my Sludge Belcher with the Iron Beak Owl. And had I seen that disappear, I would have said, okay, well, there's a really good chance you only have one. Maybe you have the second one, but I'd rather take my odds and play the Sludge Belcher over the Anti-Keelbot here, which is the line I took. And I think I would have bought one more turn had I played the Anti-Keelbot, unless you had a lot more burst in your hand.
No, I think you would have had one more turn as well.
Yeah, and I think maybe with that last turn, I don't think I would have been able to win the game, but I may have been able to stall long enough to give me another turn and then win two turns after that. But it was a tough line to make the decision of, do I play the Sludge Belcher, do I play the Anti-Keelbot here? And I chose the Sludge Belcher with the hope that you hadn't drawn the Iron Beak Owl yet.
Yeah, dude, you had me sweating in that second game by the end. It was very clear once we got to the later turns, mm-hmm. that my deck wasn't fast enough, that you had answers for anything I put on the board before I could even really get anything out of them. Because I would be like, oh, I'm going to throw this 7-7 down. I'm going to throw this 6-6 down. And you're just like, well, it's back in your hand. And I'm like, ugh, come on, another turn. Okay, try again. No, okay. No, it's vanished again. Okay, try something else. It was scary. It definitely felt like you were in control at the end, but I just had so much momentum at that point, I guess.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to gain momentum until much later than I would have liked to in the game. Mm-hmm. And that really set me back far enough that I wasn't able to finish the job.
So in a good game, not necessarily best case scenario, but in mm-hmm. a good game, what are you doing those first four turns? Because you said you don't want to mill early on, so what are you doing?
So what I do generally, and I think this is the correct line, there's occasionally times when this is not always the correct decision, but generally what I'm doing is I'm mulliganing for Cold Light Oracle, and I keep things like Novice Engineer, Blood Mage Thalnos, and Shiv, because those cards on turn two allow me to draw further into my deck. So what I'm trying to do in the early first couple four turns of the game is I'm trying to create redundancy, and that I'm trying to get through my deck as quickly as possible so that I, in almost all circumstances, have all the pieces in my hand as quickly as possible. So, yeah. And which is why I say that Bronzebeard is not as good at doing that as Fan of Knives, because that's what I would be playing in place of the brand Bronzebeard. But the Bronzebeard's ability to basically end the game out of nowhere, games that I probably should not deserve to win, like that game too, if I had the Bronzebeard there, I would have been able to just, you know, do this crazy OTK finish and get there. And so that card really has helped the deck finish games, but it's reduced its consistency slightly.
Okay, yeah, so I mean, because obviously that card just came out, so
yeah,
you've just recently started trying it.
Yeah, and I was a little hesitant to play with it on the podcast because I know it's a newer card, and so maybe people don't have it yet, or they haven't really like played around with it yet, and we don't have a lot of information on if it's good or not. But just playing two games with it immediately, I was like, yep, playing with it. It's so good in the deck.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely seemed like the scariest card in the deck to me, just because mm-hmm. of how well it plays with all of your other cards like Cold Light Oracle and Anti-Keelbot. Like you said, the burst of that is just crazy when you could,
yeah,
in theory, heal for 32 right off of one Anti-Keelbot and Brand Bronzebeard with a prep. Or Shadowstep.
Yeah, or Shadowstep. Yep.
Yeah. That Shadowstep actually did a ton of work, too. I was not... I kind of forgot about that card, to be honest, as a rogue card. But that card seemed pretty key, too.
Yeah, it's... I'd say it's key now that you have... It is definitely key. It gives you more Cold Light Oracles. I would say it's a key card. And I don't know why I didn't think about it earlier. You're 100% right. It basically is any of the other key cards you need in your deck times two. You know, it gives you another one of them.
Yeah.
Just creates more redundancy, which is what the deck wants anyways.
So, looking ahead, are there any other cards that you've seen coming out in the next two wings that you think, like Brand Bronzebeard, are going to be key?
I don't think there's anything else that really comes out of this set that helps the deck much. The only card I can think of is... I wish I had the cards in front of me. I don't. It's a new rogue card. It's a one mana. I think it's called Snake. It's some snake. Anyway,
oh,
it's a 2/1 snake.
With Death Touch?
With Death Touch, yeah. Or if for people who don't know what Death Touch is, it says when it deals damage to a minion, it kills the minion. That card could be good. The reason is because it costs one, and its ability is very similar to a piece of removal. So let's say, for instance, you're playing against Mage, and you play that on turn one. They may use their hero power on their turn two and just get rid of it, rather than playing a threat out, which is good for you because then they haven't developed their board, and this thing only costs one. One of the downsides to having Bran Bronzebeard now is sometimes you draw too many cards. One of my goals was to reduce the cost of the deck a little bit, like maybe cut like a Sludge Belcher, an Anti-Keelbot if you could, or an Earthen Ring Farseer, and try and pick up more 1-mana and 0-mana spells, as many as I could. So I tried it with a South Sea deckhand for a minute, and it wasn't good enough, is how I felt about it. But I think that card has the potential to be good enough, just because in the early game it's decent, and in the mid game you can just get it out of your hand for 1 mana, which is exactly what you want it to do. So like, there's going to be turns where you'll have 1 or 2 extra mana, and you just want to get it out of your hand because you don't want to overdraw and then mill your Vanish or mill your other Cold Light Oracle and not be able to set up for the win later down the road.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, incredibly fun deck to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I am definitely excited to play this. Don't tell Andrew, but I was secretly kind of hoping you would win, because I want to try this deck, but obviously I'm going to try it anyways.
Sure.
So I'll have to build this deck, because I'm missing a few of the cards like Preparation. I think I only have one copy of that. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to craft a few things, but I'm hoping I have enough dust to try it out. Plus, I got two golden Vanishes. I mean,
nice.
I gotta play it.
I mean, duh, you have Golden Vanish.
Yeah. All right, so any other thoughts on your deck before we move on?
The only thing that I just want to note is there are a couple flex spots in the deck. Like, I play a big game Hunter because I think Dr. Boom is incredible. And as we saw in those games, Dr. Boom was still incredible. Yeah. And so it's just really hard for the deck to deal with a Dr. Boom. So I like playing a big game Hunter in that place to deal with the Dr. Boom. But there's a couple flex spots, but for other than that, it's a really, really solid list. It goes together all really well, and as I said, it's like pieces in a puzzle, and so finding the right pieces at the right time and having the right pieces in your build really makes it a fun deck. So, yeah, it's fun.
And actually, it seems like he would work really well with Bran Bronzebeard as well, because if you're playing against, like, Handlock and they're throwing down double giants, just pick off both of them.
That's what I thought at first as well, actually. But it turns out Bran Bronzebeard's ability triggers on the same target. So if you play a big game Hunter, it'll double kill the eight, you know, like the Dr. Boom. So it doesn't work, sadly. I thought it would too at first.
That's a little disappointing.
It sure is.
Because that would have been incredible. All right, so that's a really fun deck. I'm really excited to try it out and play it and see it perform a little better, because even as your opponent, I could see that it just was not – you were getting bad draws the first time around.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the nature of the game, though, and that's – we have to accept when you're playing this style of game. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. So let's jump into the community section.
Cool.
First of all, do you have a beard, Brad?
I don't have a full-on beard right now, but it is No Shave November, so I am taking part in No Shave November right now.
Okay, so we didn't get a question sent in, so I'm asking a question. I just put a link in the Skype chat for you to look at.
Okay.
This is a new trend called glitter beards. Have you heard of this?
Is it like bedazzling beards?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god.
It is exactly what you think it is. I'll put links to the show notes as well, because there's a ton of different ones. Like, people, there's gold, there's kind of heavy dusting, light dusting of glitter. Like, it's just in time for Christmas. The article
is hysterical.
Yeah, there are just a ton of crazy options. It does look very festive. So if you grow a beard, are you going to glitter it for Christmas?
I mean, now I'm going to.
Okay, good. Awesome, as you should.
Are you going to?
I don't know. I can't imagine. I can't imagine I would actually do that. I want to a little bit. I also read, actually, someone's outraged comments about this was talking about how people have started putting flowers in their beard as well. That seems kind of cool too. But there you go. So I'm probably not going to do that. It takes
so long to get it out of your beard though.
Yeah.
Like you have to shave immediately afterwards.
Yeah. And all these pictures have like well-dressed men with these things, but you know that glitter's going to be all over their clothes in 2 seconds. You're not going to, yeah. It's going to be a disaster. But it does look cool. It looks like cool Christmas trees. But there
it's
you go.
It's all about the amazing selfies, I guess.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. These pictures are good. I mean, I would put this as like, you know, my LinkedIn profile picture. Shows potential employers. I've got style. I'm happy.
Party in the beard.
Yeah. Party in the beard. So this is what happens when you guys don't send in questions. I make up questions.
We talk about beards.
We talk about beards and glitter. We got 2 iTunes reviews though. I went back out to the international section again. If you are in an area different other than the United States and post a review on iTunes, let me know so I can find it, because iTunes makes you check every region individually, and every region means basically every country. And there are a lot of countries in the world. I don't know if you know this, Bradford Lee, but there are a lot. But we got 2 reviews in. First one's from the U.S. Oh, dear. This is not a name you can say. Hashishisex, there's no vowels in it. Says awesome, love the show, always keeping me updated. But and then down in Australia, can you do an Australian accent, Brad Ridley?
No. I'll try.
All right.
The funny part is the podcast I do with somebody's Australian on, so he's gonna just make fun of me for this now.
No, it means you have in-field training. You've learned.
Oh, okay. Then I'll have to, like, end the podcast by saying Australia, because that's what he does. Australia. I can't even do it. That's perfect. So bad. That's
come
so
on.
Bad.
You were basically halfway done. Just keep going. You got this.
All right. Oh, come on down and have some Vegemite.
That's not what it says. That's, wow. All right.
That was so
I
bad.
Apologize for that racist statement from Bradford Lee.
Oh, Vegemite's good. I like it.
Yeah, okay, sure. Nice cover. Nice cover.
It's nice on a piece of toast.
All right, finish it out. You got this. The real comment.
This is so hard. All right, I don't know. What should I say? That's the real question.
Well, you just...
I have to think of, like, a stereotype.
The comment's
typical,
right
like...
there. You just read his comment.
Oh, in Australian?
Yeah, well...
Okay.
It's still English, but yes.
Well, English, I'm sorry. In an Australian accent, that's what I meant to say. Oh, man, I can't do that. All right, hold on. He's going to hate this podcast after this. All right, my favorite... All right, I'm just going to read it. My favorite Hearthstone podcast, the host has a great attitude and brings in new guest hosts each week. And I agree, you do have a great attitude and bring in great hosts each week.
Especially that great host thing, I think you're thinking, right?
Yeah, still... I mean, maybe.
Maybe. All right, thanks for being a good sport there. I tried to make you do it because I cannot do accents at all.
Oh, so. And I didn't mention who sent that in. It was Thraksh, I believe is how you say his name. Does that sound right?
That sounds right to me.
And thank you for the giving the 5 reviews. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
5 stars.
Thank you for Hushishex and Thraksh. Or maybe it's... Oh, wait, it's like Hushishex. It's like they're trying to tell you a secret, so be quiet so I can tell you the secret, which is X.
Ooh. Whatever that secret may be. Ooh.
Spooky. No donations this week, but we did get the usual once a month Jake Crawford, hero listener, sends in $10 so we can buy 7 packs a month to open on the show and talk about cards that we would keep and which card we would throw away from each set. So we opened up 7 packs. Once again, Jake Crawford on a roll, another legendary. He got us a legendary last month.
He's crushing it.
Yeah, dude. That's 14 packs, 2 legendaries. Dude, that's good.
That's really good.
So of the cards to save, I actually picked Snake Trap, which we opened out of there. Because Snake Trap is a card I've wanted for a long time. I've never had it, and it's kind of an epic. So I never really got around to crafting it, because I'd rather craft commons and rares. Or legendaries. And there's always just been a lot of hunter decks that run like one copy of it that I've always wanted to try, but I always have to sub in like Freezing Trap or something. So I'm actually super excited to have Snake Trap now.
Cool.
Yeah. I'd
say the card to save would either be my favorite card from the deck I played, Cold Light Oracle.
Of course.
You opened up the legendary Alakir the Windlord, which is a really, really fun card. and offers some really cool burst finishes, which is fun.
Yeah, and actually, I'm really excited to try an aggro shaman deck once all the cards come out for this set. It looks pretty promising.
Oh yeah, the what is the Tunnel Trog, I believe is the name of the new one drop that they got, which is really powerful looking.
Yeah, Tunnel. Whenever you overload, get plus one attack per locked mana crystal, and he's a 1-cost 1/3 just on his own, which is a great body.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, he's basically a zombie chow in that deck.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for that, and I'll probably run him in there whether it's ideal or not, just because it'll be fun to be playing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to dust some cards too that we got, and I am happy to dust Twisting Nether, because this is my second copy of it. I don't even think I need one copy, so I definitely don't need two copies. I'm not running two copies of this 8-cost epic Destroy All Minions, even though it has an awesome board effect.
Oh man, that's the new meta, Twisting Nether.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you could run Twisting Nether in your rogue deck, you would, wouldn't you? It's just like another banish.
I'd run it because I have preparation. I have preparation.
Okay.
I wouldn't want the 8 mana. Yeah, it's just too expensive.
So plus it's an epic, so I can dust that, craft something decent with that dust. I'm in.
Yeah. It's 100 dust. That's good dust.
Yeah. What are you dusting?
I would dust the Master of Disguise that you got. It's a rare. It's worth 20 dust, and it's just not a good enough card to see play, I don't think, ever. And it's okay in Arena, even. It's not even, like, great in Arena. So it's just, I just don't think it's worth holding on to. I would dust it.
Yeah, so that's the 4-cost, 4/4, Battlecry, give a friendly minion stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Hey, and it's rare, so you get 20 dust. It's not terrible.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, cool. So we're going to have the short video up. It's like 2 minutes long of me opening all 7 packs. You can see us get excited when Alakir the Windlord drops down. Let's jump into our Card of the Week segment.
Sure.
That's up to you, buddy. Again, once again, the pressure. You got to...
All right, I'm ready for it. You ready?
Yeah.
Card of the Week. 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 Doo-doo. It's Card of the Week time.
That is the jazziest ending to the Addams Family song I've ever heard. I love it. That was awesome. Wow, you came prepared. You're doing better than 90% of hosts.
That's pretty decent, I suppose.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was fun and exciting, and it got fun. There's snaps. Everyone could sing along. All right, what is the card of the week?
The card of the week this week is a rogue card. It is Unearthed Raptor, and Unearthed Raptor is from the new set. It just came out, actually. From the Solo Adventures. It is a 3-mana 3/4, and it has Battle Cry, choose a friendly minion, and gain a copy of its Battle Cry. Gain a copy of its Death Rattle effect, not Battle Cry.
Yeah, and we should say that that's actually Death Rattle effects. It will copy as many Death Rattle effects as are on the minion. Or, sorry, it was. And I guess servers were crashing, is that right?
That's what I heard. The servers were crashing because people were, or maybe it was just their game froze up because there were so many Death Rattle effects on this card when people started abusing it and having fun with it.
Yeah, like, because there, you can think right now of a lot of ways, like with Lorewalker Chove, both people are applying Death Rattle effects to it, and then you copy it, use Faceless Manipulator to copy it. You could do all sorts of crazy stuff. So apparently, yeah, clients were crashing. So they nerfed it, quote unquote nerf. Because in a normal game, you'll never hit this. But now at max, only 16 Death Rattle effects can be stolen. 16. I've never seen one with more than like 4, maybe?
That even seems hard to get to that point.
Yeah, that's super hard. So this looks like a super fun card. I was super excited for this card until I realized it was a rogue card. The first time I saw it, I didn't realize the border. And so I was like, oh man, this will be so good to run in Shaman and all that sort of stuff. And then, but still, there's a lot of really interesting combos that people are picking up on. Nerubian Egg. Yeah. It's just because, I mean, you're dropping that thing on turn 2, turn 3. It's a 3/4 for 3 by default. And then it makes a 4/4 after it's gone. Like, that's crazy value.
Yeah, there's no other way to say it. Yeah, that value is just insane. There's all kinds of great cards like Nerubian Egg, but I think Nerubian Egg might be the strongest starter to go with it.
Yeah, and it's so... I mean, there's two copies, because there's a lot of other effects you want to copy, right? Like Sylvanas, but that's legendary. Yeah. It costs more. I mean, Nerubian Egg, if it's in your hand, you can always play it before this guy and drop it down. Now, brand Bronzebeard, people have been comboing with, which has been entertaining. So they steal two copies of the Death Rattle effect.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and then Baron Rivendell causes the Death Rattle to happen twice. So in theory, if you had both those legendaries down, you multiply a Death Rattle effect by 4, which is just outrageous.
Wow, that seems really fun.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about this. I think it could be really interesting. I mean, if you want to get super crazy, throw Kel'Thuzad out there so it can die and come back with all the Death Rattle effects again. What?
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. This deck just, or this card, I tried to build a serious deck around it, and it just didn't work. But I think I'm just going to build a deck that is not worried about winning and is just worried about pulling off really cool combos, and I'll probably build a deck around this just to have fun.
And I think Nerubian Egg is just an auto include, because no one wants to kill a Nerubian Egg, so you can go like put it out and then they're not going to deal with it, and you're like, all right, now make a copy of it.
So yeah.
Just, it just seems like a natural fit, those two cards.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, who knows if this picks up at all, but if it does, people might start killing the Nerubian Egg for you because they're so worried about you copying it, which is also great for you.
Yeah, so basically you get just a straight up 2-mana 4/4.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited about this card. It's one of those fun cards for sure. It's one of those cards that the second you see it, your mind just starts racing with the possibilities, which are my favorite kind of cards.
Yeah, me too.
All right, any other thoughts on Unearthed Zapper before we close this show out?
I like the artwork on this particular card as well.
I
really like skeletal creatures, and it's kind of cool because it's like it fits multiple of my desires in or my like fantasies in life, which is dinosaurs and like skeletons mixed in one. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, dude, this is as good as it gets for you then.
Oh yeah, it's great.
All right, so next time we'll have you on the show for an Unearthed Raptor deck. It'll be perfect, all dinos.
Deal, skeleton dino deck.
It'll just be this card, and that's it.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to have full show notes along with videos of our live stream that we did, our deck battle. Again, full list of all the cards that are in Bradford Lee's Rogue Mill deck, along with sub cards if you don't have all the cards that we talked about. Tons of strategies about how to play it, why each card is there, all that sort of good stuff. All that's on GameDiplomat.com. Swing by there and click Happy Hearthstone on top. You'll find it. As always, though, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added in the show for future episodes, or, like Bradford Lee's friends did, if there's anyone you want on the show that we haven't had on the show yet, let us know so we can track him down or send them our way. You can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone. On Twitter, I'm @JAugustine. Or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com. Or just leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. I check that every single day. If you enjoyed the show, also please consider supporting us. You can find more information on that at gamediplomat.com/donate. Send us card packs or send us money. Send us legendary cards like Jake, which he does every month now, apparently, which is awesome. Bradford Lee, where can people find you?
I stream on Twitch on a regular basis. So I stream from 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time till midnight. So it's a long time frame generally. Monday through Sunday, except for Fridays. So I stream, 6 days out of the week, which is a pretty long time.
Wow.
And I'm really enjoying it. So it's super fun. Stop by, hang out with us. You can also find me on Twitter @BradfordLeeHS. I'm not as active on Twitter right now. I'm trying to be more active on Twitter. I know it's a really good, communication tool. So hopefully we'll, If you send me a message on Twitter, I'll definitely get back in touch with you though. So yeah.
Awesome. So for all the listeners, you guys know that Bradford Lee is serious about Hearthstone because his Twitter handle has HS in it.
Oh man.
That's dedication right there, dude.
Yep. I'm into it.
That's awesome. So Bradford Lee, thanks for coming on the show. It's been really fun.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again soon.
Oh yeah, I gotta say Australia now.
I forgot to
mention one other thing as well, actually.
Yeah.
I also do another podcast that now I'm a part of. They're called Death Rattle Crew. It's the deathrattlecrew.com. And feel free to check them out as well. They're great.
Yeah, so one caveat with that you mentioned is they are not family friendly.
Yes, it is an explicit podcast, so that is worth noting.
So just keep that in mind when you head over there, which is cool. Everyone needs different styles, but just in case you we're going there for the Happy Hearthstone vibe. It's a little different.
Yeah.
So on that show, actually, what do you guys focus on? Is it like the meta or strategies or what sort of thing?
We do a number of different things. We talk about we do you know, like your typical set review shows. We'll do those discussions. But our biggest focus is just kind of bantering about what's going on in Hearthstone this week, as well as where we are in Hearthstone and how we're feeling about the game. And it also gives us like a platform to rant about the game when we're not feeling good about it, as well as feeling those moments when we do feel great about it. So yeah.
Yeah, we can't be happy Hearthstone all the time. Sometimes you just got to get a little angry.
There's happier Hearthstone, then there's happy Hearthstone, then there's like happiest Hearthstone. We have to scale ourselves, you know?
That's true. I feel like maybe like by the time I hit episode 100 of Happy Hearthstone, mm-hmm. I'll just need a place to go burst. So I'll come on your show and just let out all the rage I felt for the years.
We'll have the sad Hearthstone episode.
The sad Hearthstone. Yeah. So okay, yeah, we'll do rage Hearthstone and then sad Hearthstone after that. So I'll get really angry for one episode and then just me crying for an hour and a half for the next episode.
That sounds really funny.
I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm real sorry. And then apologize to everyone and everything. I didn't mean that, Dr. Boom. You're totally balanced. I'm sorry.
Sure you are.
All right, so this is fun. Thanks again, Bradford Lee, and thanks again for all the visitors for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Later, guys. Have a good one.